everybody.
Hi, guys, from Salt Lake City.
It's Thank God I'm Atheist,
the podcast.
I'm Frank.
I'm Rachel.
And, well, let's just acknowledge Rachel's here this
Hello.
Week. Sitting in for Dan.
Yes.
So thank you very much for being here.
Yes, love it.
Dan is at the American Atheist Convention.
Hell yeah.
This weekend. And so by the time you guys hear this, that'll all be over. But yeah, that's where Dan is. Let's see. On the show, later in the second half of the show, there's Trump's Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we just can't not acknowledge that this has happened. We don't want to spend too much time on it because it's absolutely fucking ridiculous. But I don't know. Can't avoid it. So that will be second half of the show. First, we have got some news of the week, some things that have happened. And I'll start.
Okay.
I'll get the ball rolling.
Do it.
So this is a story that comes from Italy concerning some art.
Ooh.
A beautiful, beautiful painting that was on display in a city outside of Modena, if that means anything to anybody, northern Italy.
It's where they make balsamic vinegar.
It is where they make balsamic vinegar. It's also, I believe, where the Ferrari factory is.
Oh.
Is in Modena.
Oh.
I had a good friend from Modena, actually, at one point in my life. Let's see. But absolutely stunning painting on display in a retired Catholic church, a deconsecrated church. And the painting is, I mean, aesthetically, right, I should say artistically, it's well executed.
Okay.
It depicts sort of a very traditional looking Jesus post execution. Well, yeah, crucifixion. He's got the little stigmata in his hands, and he's got some robey stuff sort of laying around his head and arms, but otherwise nude. And there is a head. It's sort of, so it's like kind of an aerial shot of Jesus sort of just dead on the ground.
Okay.
And there's a head of a guy sort of over his privates, and it's suggesting fellatio.
What you've just described is, I am picturing something very specific.
It appears to show the act of oral sex being performed on the lifeless figure of Christ.
Oh, God.
And it has prompted quite the response from the local Catholic community. About 30,000 people have signed a petition calling for the show to be closed. And what's important about this is that it is a deconsecrated church, but it is still a Catholic-owned facility.
Okay.
Right? It's a museum. It's the Museo Diocesano, I think is how you would say that. It's not a word
you
that
know.
I know
more than the rest of us.
I know, but I don't know that word. Anyway, so the artist's name is Saltini, Andrea Saltini, and there was a whole bunch of other paintings, and they're all sort of like riffs on sort of classic religious scenes, right?
Okay.
There's like the Pietà, you know, that one where the Madonna is holding sort of the lifeless body of Christ. It's an astronaut in like a full on like astronaut head thing, right? Holding.
Who's he holding?
That's a Jesus head with
a
body.
Like David Bowie, maybe.
I mean, that's a version of Bowie. There's the lower half. It kind of, the printer put it on two different pages.
I see.
And so it makes more sense visually if you can see the whole thing at the same time. But anyway, so the people are calling upon the local Catholic authorities to like close this art show. And they're like, nope. No, we're not going to do it, which is bizarre. But I mean, it's also not explicit, right? Like, it's suggestive, right? Yeah. Like, he could just be getting a close look, right? He could just be doing any number of things. It's not a video. You can't, you're not getting any sense of like
head
motion.
Bobbing. Right. Well, it's like, pretty obvious. Seems obvious.
Anyway,
to me.
So somebody from the community was rather upset about this, in addition to the 30,000 people. This person entered the museum masked and walked over to the painting, slashed it with a knife. And then got some black spray paint out and started just spraying all over
it.
And the artist was present at the time, went over, walked over to the person and tried to stop them. The artist, let's see, Saltini got struck on his neck with the blade. And then the attacker fled and has not been caught.
Oh, wow.
And so Saltini, that's the artist, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had sort of this statement that he made through his lawyer. This is his lawyer saying. Saltini asks the entire community of Carpi to reflect on the limits of dissent, the right to criticism, the right to freedom of thought. Saltini hopes an open and free discussion respecting everyone's sensitivities and opinions can begin as soon as possible. Fine, great, but... And the guy, obviously, there should be no slashing of paintings.
Yeah, don't
but
do
this
that.
Is provocative shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, he knew he was provoking people.
Yeah.
He
but knew that's what art, that's what art is for.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he definitely created a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, people are talking about this. So, yeah. So that's going on.
I think, I wish they had caught the guy because.
Yeah.
Well, like. Do you want to be the first person to speak up when you're like, I think Jesus is getting some oral sex over there? Like, do you want to be the person that admits that your head is in the gutter and everyone can just be like, I didn't see that in that photo, in that painting, but whatever.
Where's your mind?
Where is your Giuseppe? Mind? That is Jesus post crucifixion and an obvious. Yeah. Mourner.
Who's crying.
Yes, his head is down.
He's lost all sense of himself. He's going to open his eyes at some point and realize where his head is and be mortified.
So sorry, Jesus.
Oh no. Oh, that could not have looked good from above.
God is staring down right now, real displeased about what's going on.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Well, let's go to New Zealand.
Ooh, yeah.
Story.
Yeah, okay.
In New Zealand, there, I actually don't know the city name here. There's a church group that are wackadoos. It's called Destiny Church.
Mm.
And they were upset about a planned drag story time hour at the local library. Ugh. Of course.
Why is this? I'm glad it's not just a thing in this country, but why is this a thing?
It's seeping out from our country, though. It started here, ugh, and now it's the other countries and their crazies are joining in.
All right.
So there's like a rainbow flag painted in a crosswalk in the town. This is a pretty cool town, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Like, pretty progressive. So the head of this Destiny Church sends an ultimatum to the mayor saying you have until 5 p.m. to cancel the drag story time hour. And she says, of course, like, no, go to hell.
Right.
Don't, whatever. So.
Or else. I mean, ultimatums usually come with an or else, right?
So the or else was members of his church, not him, because he's clearly like a coward. The members of his church stopped traffic and then used paint rollers to paint white paint all over the rainbow flag on the crosswalk.
Well, this is vandalism.
Yeah, and you can't just stop traffic. Like, yeah. You need permits for that. I don't know how New Zealand operates, but I'm sure you can't just do this. So they sat there with their white crosswalk and hateful signs and of course got arrested.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. the leader is nowhere to be found during all the arrests, and
right.
Goes on to say like what heroes these people are, and you know, we got to stop the children from being sexualized, and these are the heroes doing it. This guy is going all over New Zealand to do things like this.
Oh, good for
city
him.
By city. Yeah,
he's got a
campaign slogan for his little hate message, which is okay. Make New Zealand again. which is obviously a callback to MAGA.
Yeah.
But rolls off the tongue like He didn't think this through. Make New Zealand New Zealand again. Yeah. Like don't draw on that slogan if it's not gonna fit for you. It
doesn't really work. Yeah. Oh.
So that's that. Yeah, so New Zealand has these drag story time protesters too. I wonder where else does.
I don't know. It's
oozing out of our country into the other hate filled areas of places.
Well, I mean Christianity, it's kind of a thing. I guess this is they're sort of mimicking a style of Christianity that's really typical here.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You kind of just expect it in the United States. And clearly, like, what is it, Destiny Church?
Destiny Church.
That totally sounds like some bullshit, you know, church in a strip mall. So, yeah that's probably, I'm sorry, New Zealand.
Yeah, sorry.
The decent people of America send our apologies.
Yep.
If
so sorry.
All right. Well, Rachel.
What?
Oh, this story. It's such a beautiful tradition. Every single year, this happens, and I cannot help but bring it up on the show because it's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing. Have you seen the people in the Philippines that crucify themselves for Easter?
Is this real?
Oh.
Really crucify themselves? Oh, really or crucify just like get themselves. Up on a cross and like pretend?
No. There's no pretending here. This is absolutely, absolutely a beautiful thing.
Whoa.
Every single year throughout. It's one specific region where this is really common. Pampanga. But around 20,000 Filipino and foreign tourists were in attendance in San Pedro Cutud village in the Pampanga province in order to witness, I think it was about 6 or 7 people be initially whipped by actors dressed as Roman soldiers. So they actually were...
They're doing role play. Oh, and then they're following through with their own death.
Yeah, well, it's probably more cosplay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Jesus, you're right. Cosplay. It's a reenactment.
But they carry their crosses. They do this whole reenactment thing. And then they hammer 3-inch nails through their hands and feet.
Oh, my God.
And the main guy who was kind of leading the group, a 63-year-old by the name of Ruben Inahe, who was crucified for the 35th time this year.
What?
He does this every year. It's his little special Easter holiday tradition that he loves to participate in. He feels closer to Jesus by doing this. He says, while I was walking, all I was thinking about was how Jesus felt while he was carrying his cross up until he was crucified. I can't tell for how long I can do this since my body is also getting old. Yeah. Well, and why did you ever do it in the first place? It's not about having an old body.
How long does it take your feet to heal from something like that?
I mean, to be fair, I do remember, it's not in this article, I do remember that these are not like the kind of nails that you would get at the hardware store.
Okay. Right?
That they are like, I don't want to say that they're like stainless steel or something like that, but they're like, they're smooth and they've
just hammer them in there.
They hammer them in. So it's relatively, it's as clean as it could be. Right. And they're not without supports, right? There's also ropes.
Okay.
Kind of lashing them. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Way better, right?
Way like, better.
This totally, than what? This makes it doable. Like, like sign me up. Yeah. Right? They've got ropes.
How spiritual of them.
Part of their weight. The Catholic Church is not, they don't like this. They've been discouraging it since it started. There's also the tradition of all throughout Holy Week, there's a tradition of devotees flagellating themselves with bamboo whips, which they believe to be an act of penance that will wash away their sins, cure illness, and lead to blessings. The Catholic Church has said, prayers and sincere repentance are enough, is what they said.
Okay.
It's absolutely fucking wild. I'm surprised you've never heard of this.
I've never heard of this.
Oh my God. It's just this bizarre phenomenon. And it's, I don't know where, if anywhere else in the world that it's done, but every year in this one part of the Philippines, they do it on Good Friday.
Anyone doing this without like the religious element of it is like a sexual deviant. There are people that do this all the time, like whipping each other, you know, like you can pay good money to have that done to you.
They're not deviants. They just,
right. They're just, not kinky. They're kinks. Good for them. But yeah, you can have this done. You don't have to like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
There are places that provide these kind of services.
They're getting it for free because they're saying it's for Jesus.
You think they're getting off on this?
Someone is enjoying this. To do it 35 times. Like, if God hasn't saved your soul yet.
He is planning. This guy is clearly planning on going to heaven. He's got it all fucking worked out.
Yeah, he's going to be pissed.
Yeah. I was crucified 35 times for you, Jesus.
No, he likes it.
I'm
convinced that guy is signing up for something else.
I mean, he's just wearing a little skimpy little loincloth, so I hope he's not enjoying it too much.
This is so bizarre.
So, yeah. So there you have it. Fun tradition, right?
Yeah.
That's what they do for Easter, Rachel.
Well, they should try ham.
And deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs. Highly recommend. Okay, I'm going to go to Afghanistan and the Taliban. Ooh. Speaking of like publicly beating people. So the Taliban has now brought back their policy of that they are going to stone women to death now for adultery. And that's just Sharia law, and there's nothing wrong with it. They've been gradually inching towards more and more of these policies ever since the U.S. left, you know. And these human rights groups are like, it's because no one's speaking out that they just are taking more and more and more measures to do this sort of thing. And
it's the same old Taliban. I mean,
because it's the same old Taliban. They said, you know, we're new, like the new and improved 21st century Taliban.
Yeah.
It's fine for you to leave. We're going to treat women good. Right. And now here we are just a few years later. And they're like, oh yeah. No, like we're not going to do that. We're going to go back. This is probably,
in their heads, they are treating them well. Right?
I guess.
Like, I mean, they think that
they think they're saving demented, them.
Right. Yeah. But they think that this is what is called for.
Yeah.
It's barbaric. It's awful. And it's interesting that somehow you can, like you were saying, when like at the beginning, for whatever reason, they weren't doing this stuff. They didn't just, they're like trying to sneak it in or something.
I think they thought they would get public backlash. From the international community.
Wow.
And yeah, like since basically everyone just when we left and wiped our hands clean of that, and now they have no repercussions. No one's forcing them to uphold human rights. Pretty sick.
Yeah.
They say I represent Allah and you represent Satan. So like, and you meaning the Western world.
Right.
So you don't get to tell us what to do. Your democratic principles mean nothing to us. And that's why religion is bad. Like fuck that shit.
Yeah. I mean, this is, they just get to do whatever the fuck they want to.
Yeah.
And we knew they were a bad group, right? We knew what they had done before.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, it's horrifying.
It's so horrifying.
It's, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that.
I know.
Well, I also have a story concerning Islam and Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
This time in France, where the French Soccer Federation is doing absolutely nothing to support players who might be observing Ramadan. As you know, during the month of Ramadan, people fast during the day. They don't eat, they don't drink water, and you have to wait until the sun goes down. And so I would guess that in, you know, northern climes during the summer, when Ramadan falls during the summer, it's got to be pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, this year, I guess, well, we're in the middle of Ramadan right now. And so this was kind of, the story came up because there was sort of the question of like, well, what are the, like, because in other places that play like, that play soccer professionally, football for the rest of the world, right? Like in Germany, England, and the Netherlands, they accommodate. Their soccer leagues accommodate.
By not having like daytime games?
Or? Well, no. I mean, they don't like reschedule the games or anything, but they're allowed to, like they have authorized pauses in the games to allow Muslim players to break fast, to break their fast mm-hmm. when it comes time to do that.
And then send them back on the field with like a full stomach.
I don't think so. I think it's just a really quick little thing where mm-hmm. they eat a date and have a glass of water and then run back out start playing.
Love it.
But there's an accommodation, right? But there's also for practice, they're not doing anything to like reschedule, work around times that maybe that it just works better for the players. I mean, these are players who are out on the field with mm-hmm. empty stomachs and they can't drink water.
Right.
And they're running just as hard
right.
as they would normally. Because France has this secularism, they have this version of how to run a secular country that involves we don't treat you differently, supposedly, they say, right? We're not going to not take you as a player on this team because we don't ask you what your religion is, right? Ahead of time is what, you know, they're saying in this article. But likewise, we also aren't going to accommodate whatever your religion is, whatever it is, we're not accommodating it. And I would like to know how far that is actually true, because there's probably a lot of French cultural things, being a very Catholic country traditionally, that are actually sort of Catholic things, right? Like, okay. I wonder, like, around
Christian holidays. Do they take Christmas Day off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know if soccer's played around Christmas time.
Yeah.
But stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in their very French way of handling this, their players are starting to get a little pissed off because apparently there are a lot of Muslim soccer players, professional soccer players. This is the approach from one French coach that they talked to for the article. He said that last year he did help his players adapt their schedule to Ramadan's requirements, but fasting on game day was not an option, he said. He would let the players fast during the week, but on match day, he would not select a player to play if mm-hmm. they were fasting.
Totally.
He's just looking out for the team.
Totally.
Right? Like, you gotta,
they're
you
not going to play well.
Yeah, hungry tummy and probably a headache or mm-hmm. something, because that's how I get when I don't eat all day.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, I respect that a player fasts, but on the other hand, he has to respect the rules I put in place, and that goes for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And this is their approach. I think we, in our sort of approach to multiculturalism, it's all about accommodation, giving everybody an accommodation, mm-hmm. right? The French approach is nobody gets an accommodation,
mm-hmm.
or at least that's what they strive for, mm-hmm. right? And I struggle with so much of that approach, because we've talked about other applications of that approach as well, where we're just like, it just seems like you're kind of being dicks, because what does it hurt if a woman wears a hijab, right?
Yeah.
In public.
Right.
Or to school, right? Because that's, they actually do have prohibitions of women wearing hijabs in public schools.
Yeah.
Like, what does it really hurt? Right. Like, you're not even having to accommodate anything, right? You're prohibiting something. Like, what accommodation do you have to give except, she has her head covered, right? But at the same time, this one, the application of this, I feel like it seems pretty fair to me. I don't know.
Well,
because they're not saying we're kicking you off the team.
Yeah.
For your religious beliefs.
Yeah.
Right. You can have these beliefs during the month of Ramadan, though. Don't expect to be, at least this is one coach, don't expect to be playing. Right.
I think that's what you got to do, is not let them play. Not, I guess, or just don't. Why would you want them to play?
Well, the players want to play. The article also spoke to a former soccer player, like a star soccer player who's Muslim. And he was talking about the misery of it.
Yeah.
That he would play.
But is he, the coach's job, the team's job is not, they need to like put on their best performance.
Correct.
And knowing, this guy wants to play and it's miserable for him to play, but he still wants to do it. But he's not going to be as good as if he weren't fasting or at least drinking water and like some electrolytes or something. Like,
no kidding, right?
Oh, well, running for an hour and a half and no water.
I know.
Like, it goes beyond the player's wants or abilities at that point. It's like, you're not going to be as good for the team if you are in this condition.
It's got to be really bad for you too, the player.
I would imagine like muscle cramps
Like, you'd probably have to like super hydrate.
Yeah. You gotta get those electrolytes all night.
Yeah.
Eat some slow digesting pasta first.
Can you take an IV? Is that against the rules?
Ooh, I doubt you could.
I mean, you're still fasting. Like, why not? Like,
feels like a loophole that they wouldn't like. Islam doesn't like loopholes.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah, that's true. They're very literal, aren't they?
They are.
They very are. Extreme. Yeah. Anyway, so that's going on.
Okay, well, I got some good news.
Okay.
I guess it's good news. The fastest growing religious affiliation for a while in the U.S. is the non-religious.
Right.
Right, yeah. The unaffiliated. Mm-hmm. And that is only going on more rapidly. The pace at which people are becoming unaffiliated is growing quicker than it was before and still outpacing all the other growth of all the other religions. That's amazing. It's crazy. One in four people now is religiously unaffiliated.
Mm-hmm.
And they cite this study cited, they asked questions. Why did you leave religion of the people who left?
Mm-hmm.
The number one reason being like, I just don't believe it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I have issues with the belief. So makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The other two big reasons were anti-LGBTQ bigotry within their religion.
Oh, wow.
And clergy sex abuse scandals.
Well, yeah. I mean, that one makes total sense to me.
Totally.
I
mean,
I also, as a gay man, I really appreciate
that like, people go, I'm done.
That people are leaving over that issue.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel really good. But if you're clergy, if you're seeing a lot of clergy abuse and then the church is like just responding totally horribly.
Yeah.
Totally inadequately. And in fact, doing things like declaring bankruptcy in order to protect their assets and whatnot. Right.
Yeah.
As people start suing, that makes total sense. And I'm really glad that people are starting to fucking pay attention.
Yeah.
With that.
Absolutely.
And it's actually getting them out of the pews.
So with
great.
if you're someone who takes issue with the clergy sex abuse, obviously the religion that you probably belong to is Catholicism.
Right.
Right.
But not so, just.
Not just. Yeah. Absolutely. But that, so in this study, the largest decline was among white Catholics.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then followed by non-evangelical Protestants, which is probably right. where you get a lot of the people saying like the anti-LGBTQ uh-huh. stuff isn't yeah. working for me.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, according to this, the Latter-day Saints experienced zero decline. Zero.
Well, all of a sudden, I really can't trust this.
I don't either.
Because the Mormons have...
There's no way. And exactly. The anti-LGBTQ sentiment in that church is why people are leaving.
Yeah. That's bizarre.
Yeah.
Who did this study?
It is PRRI.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know them?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like I did click on the link of the actual study. This is just an article I'm reading, but I did go to the PRRI, and I mean, like this is a lot of people. 5,600 adults across the United States from 2023. Like it was an in-depth study.
Yeah. They did.
Okay. But yeah, I don't know how the numbers for Mormon got so.
They must have had a really weird sample for the Mormons.
Yeah.
Because I know it's just from our own personal experience living here, but like that's the church is hemorrhaging members in Utah.
Right.
And it's largely over the LGBT issue. Like you hear it all the time.
Yeah.
People post all the time on
why
online.
I left. It's why yeah. my family left.
Yeah.
And
literally.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. You speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know just so many people that's why they had to eventually leave. Yeah. The LDS church just kept like digging their heels in time after time on one policy after uh-huh. another uh-huh. that was so anti-LGBTQ.
Really and cruel stuff.
Yeah.
Like the one
intentional.
With the baptism
of
the,
children.
Of children with gay parents
right.
and whatnot. Like that one was really that they wouldn't do it. Right.
They
wouldn't baptize a kid who wanted to be baptized if they had a gay parent.
Right.
What the fuck?
It right? goes like, against everything that they
yeah.
say they believe.
Yeah.
So when you think about people like leaving a religion and now becoming unaffiliated, there's a large percentage of those people that are going to go search for a different religion or
sure.
like their belief in God didn't go away.
Right.
Just their belief in that religion went away.
Right.
According to this, that number is even dwindling. The number really? Of people who are they're leaving a religion and then they're staying out.
Wow.
Which is like, that's just going to be even more people in the future. Like their children are never going to go
yeah.
to a church.
Right.
You know, like this is going to have compounding effects.
Well, once you get a taste of like how great Sunday is without church,
I know.
Like it's like, why would I ever go back?
I know.
Right. Like there's even like these really great, like little, what do they call it? Like Sunday assembly, I think it's called yep. or something like that, where it's totally, yeah. it's like, it's not even that it's non-denominational. It's not religious. It's
yeah.
like atheists getting together.
Yeah.
And having that, something sort of fill that void of right. like
we
community
gather.
And social outlet mm-hmm. and gathering together and hearing somebody give a talk that's informative or maybe inspiring, whatever, and then mingling, right?
Yeah.
And, but like, I can't even do that.
That like, sounds awful to me.
Like, and I'm so glad that it's there for the people who need that and want that in their lives,
of
that
course.
Community.
Yeah.
But like, I don't want to get up and do anything.
I don't want to hear people sing a song on a Sunday morning.
Or light a fucking candle.
No, I definitely don't want that.
Ring a bell.
Yeah, no.
What else could you do? You could blow a feather across the room.
Mm. Well, peaceful. No. Yeah. Sunday's for me.
Yeah.
Only
or
me.
Brunch.
And that's me. Yeah. Brunch for me. Only me.
All right. Well, if you would like to chime in about anything you've heard so far on the show, we would love to hear from you. You can email us podcast@thankgodimatheist.com is the email address. You can also call and leave us a voicemail. The telephone number is 424 866-8442. We might just play it on the show. And yeah, stick around. There is more show coming up. Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
Well, this is the point on the show. And for the keen listener, last week that didn't happen. We played a little audio about it. No, I don't think so. But somehow Dan and I just like barreled through the show and never played a little audio clip and talked about it, which is just, it's a tradition, on TGIA. We got some Michelle Bachman. We haven't played her in a really long time.
She's
such a peach. She's still out there. Maybe you thought she was gone. That would be such a wonderful thing. But no, the former member of Congress from Minnesota, I want to say, she's still out there, and she went on to a program called Flashpoint in order to bloviate. And she, I guess she was in the middle of talking about getting her law degree. Michelle Bachman has a law degree.
She's like a grandmother.
Well, yeah, but this was way back.
This is when she was getting, I'm like, wow, good on her.
Right? She was thinking back to like the late
70s. Yeah, she's a lawyer.
She's a fucking lawyer.
She's Louise.
But she got her law degree from Oral Roberts University.
Nice.
Which is, for those of you not in the know, it's in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Your stomping grounds. Yeah.
And it is, first of all, it's quite the sight to see. It is, it's all covered in like gold tint windows and like gilded little spires. Beautiful. And shit everywhere. They have their own little mini Space Needle on campus. That's really gaudy and awful. They also have the famous Praying Hands statue. It's like enormous. It's like in a roundabout or something.
Okay.
And anyway, so yes, she does have a law degree. But it's from a super Christian-y, like crazy, crazy school. Where also Kathy Lee Gifford got a degree in music.
Oh, I like
from
her.
From Oral Roberts
University. I'm down with her.
she's not hateful this Michelle Bachman. No. Anyway, yeah, so let's hear what she had to say about her time at ORU.
And so they had us read, what is it that the founders read? Who were the philosophers they read? Oh, by the way, the number one document they referred to when they were trying to figure out what kind of a country we should be, guess what? The Bible. Oh, you are all geniuses in this room. I wish I could have been half as smart as all of you. They looked at all societies throughout all history. They said, we've got a unique chance in all the world to create a society. What should it look like? What should it be based on? They studied all societies and those forms of government, and they decided when they had done all that, they needed to search the Word of God. And so you can take the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence, you can literally tie it to a Bible verse about every 3-4 words. It's based upon another area of Scripture. Do you have any idea how blessed we are? I was blown away when I came to Tulsa and found out how magnificent this inheritance is that was given to us in this nation.
Jeez.
So, every 3 or 4 words.
Yeah,
Rachel.
What Bible did she get that from?
Well, we're going to be talking about the Trump the Bible. One. Yeah,
but this is before that. This is way before the Trump Bible.
Oh, what a peach.
What section? Yeah, every 3 or 4. No.
Yeah. Also, it doesn't sound like you really got a law degree.
You didn't read the Constitution.
Yeah. No. And the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
Like, okay, please do this for me. I would really like you to point out, Michelle Bachman, what Bible verses line
have
up with
life,
all this
liberty,
stuff.
And I mean, and we know where those phrases come from.
Right.
They're not from the Bible.
No. Nope. Yeah, the founders were studying Enlightenment philosophers. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's where these documents come from. But, oh, isn't that fun? So that's the kind of stuff that is spreading out, you know, this Christian nationalist fake history of America.
Yeah. And they all believe it.
Oh, yeah. Well, they all knew the answer.
Yeah, the Bible. That's right.
Oh, you guys are geniuses. You guys are geniuses. Anyway. Well, so since Dan's out of town, we're going to do correspondence and thanking new donors next week when he's back. So, but for those of you who do support the show, thank you very much. And if you'd like to be a supporter of the show, you can go to our website, thankgodimatheist.com, and click on the support tab. Easy as that. All right, Rachel.
Yeah. Trump Bible. Yeah.
It's beautiful. Have you seen it?
I'm Googling it right now because I haven't seen it. Heard much about it, but
it does. Let's see. It includes the Constitution.
Yes. Very important.
And
especially since it's so cross-referenced from the Bible and the Constitution, as Michelle Bachmann pointed out. It's nice. It's more of the Constitution being attached to the Trump Bible is more like an index or an appendix. I mean, where you can just flip through and cite it.
Yeah. I mean, this is the man who famously held the Bible upside down.
Oh, that's right.
For a photo op.
Yeah.
And which also, you know, like just that in and of itself, just needing to have a photo op with the Bible.
Right.
Is just absolute fucking lunacy. Yeah. So he's selling this thing for essentially $60.
Yeah.
$60 a pop. As I guess a fundraiser, since his campaign is unbelievably strapped for cash.
Yeah.
At the moment. That will probably change a little bit. I don't know, after he gets his big $1 billion payout.
Yeah.
Which that man, just fuck him.
I know.
Fuck him and his stupid luck. Right.
Yeah.
Like, anyway. He obviously owes a lot of money to a lot of people at this point.
Apparently not enough people bought his shitty sneakers that were like the ugliest shoes ever.
Right. Right. So he's just had a move. He's like, well,
what else can I put my name on?
The sneaker kids didn't like that. So
they love Bibles. These people that follow me love Bibles.
Actually like Bibles.
I mean, I guess that's, he went the right route this time.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously, it's the same thing that he's been doing his entire life. Right. Like, just one dumb scheme/scam after another.
Put your name on something and try and get a bunch of people to buy it just because you're delusional enough to think that people love you and will buy anything with your name on it.
But people do.
And enough people do. Right.
Like,
it works.
This obviously has worked
his whole career. Yeah.
Trump steaks.
Trump wine.
Yeah.
Trump hotels.
Trump University or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the list just goes on and on and on and on. He puts his name on something and there's just these dumb fucks who pay up.
Yeah.
The EFTs, for Christ's sake.
NFTs.
Yeah. It was so obviously just not going to go well.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously not going to go well.
Yeah.
He makes a bunch of money. A bunch of people get hosed.
Yeah.
Right.
He doesn't care. That's his scheme.
Yeah.
And no one's on, like, the people buying this stuff haven't caught on yet.
I keep reading these articles of people being like, well, this is the one that's going to backfire. Right. Like, this Bible thing is really just not going to go well for him long term. Right. You'll have some moderate Christian who maybe was a little bit of a supporter of his at one point, who's like writing some article about, this is the one. This is the one. My fellow Christians will not put up with this one. Nope.
They will.
If you have seen the light, it doesn't mean anybody else is going to.
Right.
Right. About this man. It's a cult.
It is a cult. He can do no wrong.
Yeah. And they will now have his Bible
Yeah.
Their new family Bible will be a Trump Bible. I was trying to pull up the picture and I'm having a hard time. Did you find it, Rachel?
I found it with him holding it. I can't, there's no like close up that I'm finding of just show me the Bible. Tell me the Bible. New
York Times. Oh yeah. That's the dumb picture of him holding the Bible. After.
Like this is the promotional one that.
Oh, that's nice.
It's like leather it's like bound.
Pleather bound.
Leather bound.
Yeah.
Nice brown.
Probably, it's probably not even genuine leather.
It doesn't appear to be that thick of a book, which I recall of the Bible is a pretty thick book.
It's probably just the New Testament.
Probably.
But.
Yeah, so whatever. He'll get $1 billion from Truth Social because for some reason people are on there. It's so absurd.
I know. I was like we were finally watching the comeuppance, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the court of appeals knocked down the amount of the bail or the
to
the,
like
the
a
bond.
Lot still.
It's still
like
a
170
ton of
million or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
He needs, why are they not going after him for perjury? Because didn't he under oath say that he had like $400 million and that's why they made it for like $350 million.
Oh, that's
penalty?
How they set the amount.
Yeah. Hmm. That's what that was my understanding. Maybe I'm wrong about that. And it's like at a certain point, like, because he can't not lie about how rich he is.
Right.
Right. And now that he is definitely walking into actual billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be, he's the richest man in America or something.
He didn't even want to be part of Truth Social. I listened to this radio show yesterday and it was two former contestants from that show, The Apprentice.
Uh-huh.
They kind of approached him like, you need to do social media. And he, for a long time was like, no, and kind of just like dabbled in it. And now he's a billionaire. He actually is so really rich now.
He actually find it. Like, and that's always been one of the great things to be like, yeah, he's not actually as rich as he says he is.
Yeah.
And now I'm afraid, yeah, he's actually fucking rich.
Yep.
I mean, he's obviously very wealthy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's not.
But he was struggling to come up with $548 million or whatever the original amount was.
It was so good. I mean, I guess that was fun watching him squirm.
It was.
I mean, he still has a lot of like, there's still real shit that can happen to the man,
yeah.
like actual criminal shit.
Yeah.
Like he could potentially actually serve some time.
No,
in
he'll
jail.
Be in, he'll be in office again and
no,
pardon himself.
No. Rachel, how dare you?
No.
How dare you?
And all the constitutional scholars, the best legal minds that we rely on are like, I think he can pardon. I don't see why he can't pardon himself. We've never really had someone do that, but I guess. He could
self-pardon.
Like, okay. No, guys, no.
And you know, I mean, he could actually be president from prison too.
That's true.
They,
why not?
So they say, and it's like,
well,
the Bible. I need to know how much, how many of these he ends up selling. CNN did a great thing. They actually had like a graph of like I think it was a graph of how many Bibles he'd have to sell to like match what Biden raised in
his
one
fundraised.
Day.
Yeah.
Like yeah, that Biden had that $25 million fundraiser,
mm-hmm.
which is obscene. I mean, we shouldn't be so proud and happy, right? That like when our the politician that we're rooting for, or at least plugging our nose mm-hmm. and voting for because we don't want the other guys so desperately, but like we shouldn't marvel at these numbers. This is the problem with our democracy one of the problems is the way that cash has infiltrated mm-hmm. in the entire system,
mm-hmm.
right? The cost of running a presidential campaign
right.
is
how many people can
so
we house by
yeah.
one campaign?
And this is just a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the loose cash that mm-hmm. our billionaires and a lot of us who are willing to send 20, 50 bucks to a campaign
mm-hmm.
are able to collectively get for these people?
Yeah.
What kind of what kind of problems could we solve if we all agreed to, like, hey, let's actually do something about homelessness?
Yeah.
Right. Can we raise any of the $900 million
yeah.
to, like, deal with some of these problems?
Yeah.
Can we do that, please? Whatever.
Not till we get in office, then we can do it. We
gotta
spend $900 million first.
Right. Whatever. No,
it's crazy.
All right. Well, anyway, we will not be purchasing one of these Bibles. But
they should get one of those billboards like we have here in Salt Lake City that does the color scriptures and it counts up every time they sell one, the number on the billboard changes.
Okay, guys, this is such a Salt Lake thing. There's this company,
colorscriptures.com or colors, something.
Yeah. And so Mormons have their own set of scriptures, right? They have they do the Bible, and then they have the Book of Mormon, and then they have this other thing called the Doctrine and Covenants. Oh, and then there's this other thing called the Pearl of Great Price. And they bundle all of them into one. They call it the quad.
The quad.
And it's just as big, you know, with that tissue paper pages, yeah. right? But it's still pretty fucking thick.
Giant.
And they're leather bound, and they usually, like, a lot of them have like a little snap, mm-hmm. right? So it kind of self-closes on itself. A little
quilted carrying case for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those are
handles,
great.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you have your name embossed mm-hmm. on it. It's, oh, feels so special. Anyway, so there's this company that does color scriptures.
All colors that you could choose.
So
bound up in a quad in lavender for Easter.
Right. So there's these billboards on I-15, the main freeway through the city, and they have a running count of how many they've sold this month.
It's always a sadly low number. It's never over like 200.
I know. How are they paying for this billboard? Like, it's, I've not been able to, either they are charging a fuck ton for these Bibles.
Yeah.
Or scriptures or whatever.
Yeah.
Or this is just somebody's little pet project, uh-huh. little passion project, because it is ludicrous.
Yeah.
That billboard's always there.
Yeah. And it starts over every month. Starts back at zero.
They should. Oh, it's so weird. It's so dumb. Anyway. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. And thank you, Rachel, for sitting in.
You're welcome.
It's always a pleasure having you on the show.
It's always fun.
And if you'd like to join in the conversation at all, tell us what you think about anything that we've talked about on the show. You can do so. Email us podcast@thankgodimatheist.com. You can leave us a voicemail message at 424-666-8442. We have some online communities that are pretty awesome that you can join up. Go to our website, thankgodimatheist.com/members-only. And I feel like I'm missing something. If you'd like to donate to the show, also you can go to our website and just click on the support tab. And yeah. Oh, thanks to Gordon Johnston and the Red Rock Hot Club for the use of their music. Dan will be back next week. Thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.